We open up our Bibles to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. The text is the first three verses. We read the entire psalm. This is God's inspired word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The text once again, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Psalm 46 is a well-known and well-beloved portion of God's Word. As children of the 16th century Protestant Reformation, I am sure we are all familiar with the fact that this was an overwhelming favorite with that reformer, Martin Luther. And that is because Luther identified well with two important aspects of this psalm. Number one, the great earth-shaking troubles described in this psalm. Luther, having himself, of course, experienced great, and from his perspective, very much an earth-shaking troubles throughout his life for being bold to expose the many and great corruptions of the church in his day, and therefore having to constantly flee from danger and to seek refuge for his very life. But even more importantly, number two, Luther would identify well with the psalmist's wonderful cure for all his distresses and fears arising from all his great troubles. And what is that cure? What is that wonderful cure prescribed by the inspired psalmist? It is this. It is to fix our eyes upon God, to gaze upon Him, even as we are going through troublous times and troublous circumstances, is to have our focus on Him. The great God of heaven and earth, our God for Christ's sake, the God who is the refuge and strength of all His people throughout all ages. That is what we will do this morning and do with the aid of our text, something which is both needful and fitting for us to do, as yet another year of our earthly pilgrimage has come to a conclusion and a brand new one has just begun. Notice with me, God, our refuge and strength. First of all, our need for refuge. Secondly, the God who is our refuge. And thirdly, a refuge that removes all fear. Every one of us in this sanctuary this morning, young or old, that's right, children, I'm speaking to you too, young or old, living in this world, has a need for refuge. And what is our need for refuge? Well, the psalmist tells us with just one word in the first verse of Psalm 46. And it occurs right at the end of verse 1. Did you see it, children? That's the word, trouble. Trouble. So now, what exactly was the trouble that the psalmist experienced and faced? Well, we can't be sure entirely because we don't know the background and the exact setting and exact occasion for this psalm. Nonetheless, a very able Bible scholar thinks that it might well have been during the time of King Hezekiah, when Jerusalem would soon come under siege and attack from mighty Sennacherib, the king of that great world empire, Assyria, who had by this time conquered city after city, nation after nation. Nothing could withstand his mighty army. So, how was puny little Jerusalem going to withstand the onslaught of mighty Sennacherib's army of 185,000 well-armed men with horses, chariots, with catapults, siege towers? How were they going to withstand that onslaught? What trouble then God's people were in the time of King Hezekiah? Now, while we are not sure exactly as to what was the exact trouble and if that was the exact trouble of the psalmist, the Holy Spirit does provide a description of this trouble for us in the text. And that is marked by the word though. And there are four instances of the word though in the verses 2 and 3. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, how are we to take these things? Are we to take these descriptions literally or symbolically? Literally, of course, it would be the best option, but the argument could be that this is inspired poetry, it could be symbolic. Well, really, the answer is that it doesn't really matter. Regardless whether you take it to be literal or symbolic, the point of the Holy Spirit, the point and the idea of the Holy Spirit in these verses is that the psalmist is greatly, greatly troubled by troubles all around him. Great troubles, these are. He's completely surrounded by overwhelming, all-powerful forces that would threaten his very existence and life. That's the point. And so, the dreadful feeling of the psalmist under such circumstances would be much like that of Hezekiah and God's people in his day, that of distress and fear. That dreadful feeling of distress and fear is something which we all know of and are familiar with, aren't we, beloved? It's a feeling that arises in us when troubles come our way and troubles affect us in our heart, mind, and soul. And that would be the case whether we were to look back at the year or years that have gone by on our earthly pilgrimage, or also if we were to look ahead as well to the future. Now, in respect to looking back at the year or the years gone by and thinking of the troubles that we have faced and experienced in our personal lives, our family lives, our extended family, and our church family. Thinking of the challenges and concerns we face from the viewpoint of health, mental health, more and more afflicting the youth of this country. Mental health, physical health, especially afflicting the older ones, but also our younger ones are not immune to that. Physical health, emotional health, that too is important. And most importantly, spiritual health. Considering also the painful loss of loved ones in recent times. The hurts, the sadness, the troubles that come from all these things and so much more. And then now taking a step back to look at all things as a citizen of our churches, the Protestant Reformed churches, a citizen of this nation, and a citizen of the world that we live in. We live in a world that is decaying, that in which evil is abounding and growing and developing by the hour. And so we have concerns, don't we? We have deep concerns for ourselves, but particularly for our children and grandchildren and all the faithful whom we love. And so, when we recall all these things all together and all at once, that dreadful feeling of fear starts to creep into our souls, does it not? And the same could be said when we look ahead to the future, with some of the troubles of the past and present, following us like a shadow into the year or years ahead. And add to that now the uncertainties, the many uncertainties we face on all fronts. Like the psalmist then, we feel that we are completely surrounded by troubles, and therefore the dreadful feeling of distress and fear is a most familiar feeling. We feel trapped. We feel helpless. We are fearful. So what shall we do? We need help. But where and who do we turn to for help? Answer, not ourselves. I think we all know that here. But the point of preaching the sermon is that we know it here. And that we know it here more deeply. Not ourselves. Not the beer bottle and the wine bottle, not that either, nor for that matter any substance which we turn to for relief, more of an escape, a temporary and only mental escape from the reality of troubles in our lives. Nor is it to be found in esteem and popularity among peers and friends. It's not to be found in earthly success or human wisdom. So what is the answer? Open up your Bibles with me and turn them to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. And I call your attention there to verses 7 and 8. This is King Hezekiah speaking to his people on the occasion of the mighty Assyrian army at the doorstep of Jerusalem and Judah. What is the answer? This is God's inspired word. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. Reason? For there is more with us than with him. Verse 8, explanation. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Isn't that beautiful? The counsel that Hezekiah gave was to fix our eyes on God. Gaze at him. Behold your God. That's Isaiah's language. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And you know what, beloved? Amazing things happen when we keep our eyes fixed on him and not on our horizontal earthly circumstances. We start to do the kind of math and accounting that Hezekiah did. In verse 7, children, don't try that at school with your math teacher. He says, for there be more with us than with him. Straight math tells you that 185,000 troops over there, Jerusalem has nothing of that size, not even a small fraction that could compare with that. They were outnumbered at least 10 to 1. So earthly math would tell us, Hezekiah, you are wrong, but Hezekiah beheld his God. And so he did the kind of math that he did here in these verses. There be more with us than with him. Why? Because keeping our eyes fixed on Jehovah helps us to see the real reality of our earthly circumstances, all our troubles and threats coming at us. It's just an arm of flesh. Do you see it for what it is? It's just an arm and it's just flesh. But look at him. He's the Lord, our God, the great God of heaven and earth. That's the one you look to. That's the one who spake and it was done. That's the one who commanded and it stood fast. And that is the exact same answer provided by the psalmist in verse 46. Right away in our text in verse 1. God is our refuge. Now, what can we say about this God who is our refuge? Well, to begin with, what is a refuge? Big word for our children, but really simple to understand, children. What is a refuge? A refuge is a place where we run to for safety, for shelter, for protection when dangers come our way. And so, for example, when we run into a cave, when we're out in the woods and a huge thunderstorm comes our way, that cave is our refuge. That cave is the place where we find shelter from the driving rain, where we find safety and protection from the thunder and all the havoc that the thunder and the heavy rain can bring to us in the woods. We go there to the cave for protection. That cave is our refuge. And so, when God in His Word reveals to us that He is our refuge, it has the same idea of that cave. God, the one whom we turn to, is our safety, our shelter, our protection. He is our safety, shelter, and protection when fears and dangers throng, so that when we run to Him and flee to Him, we will have the exact same feeling of those people under Hezekiah who heard His wonderful words. Peace, rest, and calm. Those words serve amazingly to assuage the fears of God's people. And God's people, when they make God their refuge, also have their fears assuaged. When we find ourselves surrounded by troubles, when we find ourselves overwhelmed from within by those troubles within our souls, then God calls us to turn to Him, to run to Him for that shelter, that safety, that protection, that peace and rest inside us, which we so badly need. And what a wonderful refuge He is. Let's just take a sampling of that from the many, many promises of God's Word to us, His people. What does He say, this refuge of ours, say to us when we are in the midst of turmoil and trouble, and all these troubles and turmoils are, from our point of view, speaking loudly, loudly and clearly to us, impacting us, striking fear within our hearts? What shall we do? Verse 10 of Psalm 46. Be still. Hush, my child. Be still and know that I am God. Not those other things around you. I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. Yes, I'll be exalted also in the way you go through your troubles with me as your refuge. Are you troubled this morning by the way, a most dark way in which you find yourself, in which He is leading you through at this time in your life? What does He say to you this morning? Listen to Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, says God. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Everything looks dark to you. You don't see it. You don't see exactly why that dark way is, how is the path in which you must walk through. But His thoughts and ways are higher. And they are only good for us. Are you troubled? Are you encumbered by your burdens? Burden after burden heaping upon you because people look to you. People are so much depend on you. So that their troubles and become burdens for you. Burden after burden, weighing on your shoulders, causing your shoulders to sag, causing you to sink, feeling the weight of these burdens. Is that you this morning? The God who is our refuge says this to us in Psalm 55, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord." In other words, take one burden, throw it at Him, take the next one, throw it at Him, repeat till all those burdens are lifted. He'll catch them all. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55, verse 22. Are you, beloved, one who is plagued by a feeling of judgment and condemnation for a sin from long ago, which you repented of, which you laid at the foot of the cross of Jesus? Is that you this morning? Listen to the God who is our refuge from Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You're not walking after the flesh, are you? That's part of the joy of obedience. That we know the sense of absolute forgiveness from Him in the way of walking in the Spirit. All our sins, past, present, and future, for such a one, that one knows from God's word and promise Himself that there is no condemnation for him. Beloved, whatever your troubles and whatever your fears may be, take this with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Always go there first. That's our reflex. Lean not unto your own understanding. Don't go there. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Look up, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And in relation to Him being our refuge, know this reassuring word of God from Psalm 91. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. In other words, have absolute confidence in Him as your refuge. And why? Why should we have absolute confidence in Him as our refuge? Three reasons this morning. Number one, because He is the Lord of hosts. That's how He reveals Himself in Psalm 46. He's the Lord of hosts. What does that mean, children? That means He's in total control of all the hosts of creation all around us, visible as well as invisible. Great, great creatures such as lions, tigers, most ferocious ones like wolverines, also small little cute ones like squirrels, and going smaller, ants, insects, all things great and small, all things visible and invisible to the angels. He's in control of all the host of the angels. And even the most seemingly insignificant ones, the hairs on our heads. For you children, growing in number and thickening. For others, thinning, getting grey, so that we are balding. Cancer cells that may be hidden, but in us. The thousands of bacteria, trillions, not thousands, trillions of bacteria in our gut. The good ones as well as the bad. He's absolutely sovereign overall. He's the Lord of hosts of everything. That's the first reason. But also because, number two, He is the God of Jacob. What does that mean? Well, for us in the Protestant Reformed churches, that's a very simple concept. The Holy Spirit is saying to us that He is our great and faithful covenant God, the covenant God of all His friends and His people. He is on our side. He is with us. He's never absent from us. He's on our side and He is for us. He's not against us, though it may seem that way from all our earthly senses. He's for us, not against us. And just as He was faithful to Jacob, to Isaac, to Abraham, and to all His dear covenant friends, so also is He and will He be faithful to you and I, His friends. And third, and most of all, even if it's only implicit from this psalm, we may have and we must have absolute confidence in Him because of His great, great love. Amazing love! He is our refuge because He has provided refuge for us when it matters most. He's provided refuge for us and protection for us against His just and infinite wrath against our sins in the form of His only begotten Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, God would not be our refuge. He would be our greatest nightmare, horror, and terror. It is a most fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God without Jesus. Beloved of God, We have Jesus. We have Jesus by grace. And we who have Jesus by grace also have a great calling from Him. And it is this: to tell those who are still without Him about Him and their great need for Him. Because Jesus soaked up the punishment and wrath which we deserve on our account, we must run and flee to this God and Father of ours and find in Him a dependable, sure, and everlasting protection, shelter, and safety from all our troubles. And so on this occasion of the passing of an old year and the ushering in of a brand new one, I ask you, as I ask myself, how do you see Him? Do you see Him? And when you look at this word from Psalm 46, do you see Him to be the great God who is refuge for all His people? Let's start there first. And then let's get close up and personal. Do you, right now, on January 1, 2024, at about 10 in the morning, see Him as your refuge? In this connection, the psalmist would have us note His almighty and all-powerful works. We can't see Him, but we can see His works. He would have us note those works in verses 8 and 9. Come, He says, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He does all these things. He's directing us to Him. And as well, He assures us of His zeal and timeliness to be our help in verse 5. He will be our help, and at that, right early, not late, and not a second too late. He'll be our help in His perfect time and wisdom. Oh, beloved, has He not been your help and refuge in the past, in your earthly pilgrimage? Has He ever failed you? Has any of His promises failed with you? And it's not just His past impeccable track record with you, is it? Even more, it's who He is. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the God of Jacob. And He'll keep His promises. He will. For His mouth has spoken it. And yes, He loves you. And so therefore, He is that refuge which removes all fear. All fear. And that's exactly how the psalmist puts it as he experiences it in his life and shares with us under inspiration in verse 2. Therefore will not we fear. You see that holy logic flowing? God is our refuge and strength. Therefore will not we fear. And that's how that sentence begins. He begins that sentence with the four though statements that he makes. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, though all these things happen, doesn't bother me. I'm not flustered by these things, because I have Him as my refuge. Beloved congregation, you're now identifying more and more with the psalmist here in the text, aren't you? Indeed, with God as our refuge, we can add on to the list of things that the psalmist said, though, in regards to, in verses 2 and 3. And that blessed thought is expressed this way in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. With God as our refuge, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not death of our loved ones, ourselves, not life, not even my foolish actions and speech which I repent of, not angels, can't see them, but that doesn't stop and separate the love that God has for me in Christ Jesus. Absolutely nothing, not principalities, powers, not things past, present, not things in the future, nothing. What a wonderful refuge. Still more, notice that the God who is our refuge is also our strength. And that's exactly how the psalmist knows and confesses Him in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. And here's the point. You can't separate the two. Divine refuge goes hand in hand together with divine strength. The divine place of safety and shelter is also the source of strength for the psalmist. And that, of course, you understand, is an infinite, limitless source of strength, because He Himself is infinite, limitless, all-powerful. And that's who He is to every one of His dear children. He who has graciously revealed Himself to the psalmist to be His refuge and strength is also your refuge and strength, and mine, is He not? The way in which we enjoy this comforting truth is through faith. Faith in Jesus and His cross. The cross in which His shed blood atones for all of your sins and mine and makes us accepted of this righteous and holy God forever and ever, because He has punished not us, but Jesus. And so in Jesus and His cross, will we and do we trust and delight in Him and His word? In Jesus and His cross, will we be strengthened in our inner man by grace? In Jesus and His cross, will we be comforted, encouraged, and lifted up in our spirits by His promises? In Jesus and His cross, will we cling to His promises with assurance and hope? That's His word. Beloved, you hear Him speaking to you, don't you? You who hear the voice of God, your Savior, know that that is the exact same voice that melted the earth. Verse 6. And that voice which melted the earth is also the voice that drives away and removes from us all of our distresses and fears, and renews in us blessed assurance and hope. God is our refuge and strength. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless this word and cause us more and more, dwelling on these words, to live our lives in the year ahead with thy wisdom, the perspective of faith, and therefore of assurance and hope. Hear us for Jesus' sake.